scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out of town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Tell you what, top open, number one open on the Sports Hub. I must say, I always enjoy it. Gasper and Murray. Sans big Jim Murray. He's down tearing apart Nashville, I'd imagine, by this point in time. Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe here. Adam Jones filling in for big Jim. What's up, Gasper?
Oh, this is a big time occasion. What do we owe this to? We get visited by the great Adam Jones.
Well, just scheduling, I guess.
This is fantastic.
Big Jim taking a vacation. I guess that's what you could attribute
it to. I love this. 98.5 is going, no offense to anybody who's ever filled in for Big Jim, but they're bringing out the big guns.
Oh, are they?
On a Saturday,
oh,
yeah.
That's good. That's good to hear.
I'm sure they made the calls. They started with Felger, right?
Yeah, and they were like, well, let's
Felger, can you fill in for Murray on the
weekend? Let's shoot our shot, if you could. Hey, yeah. Felger, what are you up to on Saturday? No, you're a yeah. No.
Maz, oh, you can't do it?
Maz, Zoe, Beetle, I'd imagine they were in the mix.
Beetle, a veteran of weekends. That's how I started out, working with Beetle.
Well, that's true. Beetle's not, he's not going to want to come back. You never want to take a step back. Sure. Although for nostalgia purposes, maybe.
It would have been fun, but I'm sure they asked him and,
I'm sure.
Working down the list of the regulars.
Kept working their way down.
Checking whose contract means they can't say no. Yeah. Get a better agent, Jones.
I was going to say, mine is very airtight in their favor. Very airtight in their favor. 617-779-0985. Chris, I don't know why Arcan was just being so mean to you there in the crossover. I don't know what that was all about.
I didn't even hear it. Honestly, I saw you two guys and I was like, wait, is today the right day? I just thought you guys were going to do your show.
What day is it? What time is it?
I'm like, what's going on? I'm like... Am I like really late? Am I like in, it's like they changed the clocks. I'm like, and I sort of panicked for a second. I'm like, wait, were we on at 10? And now I just messed up.
What was the, was it the Pacino movie where he was in, Alaska? It was never dark there. And he was just constantly like, sleepwalking around. What was that movie?
I can't remember.
Insomnia, okay. Of course. Insomnia, 2002 film.
Yeah.
Very highly rated.
So I thought just you and, But if you want to start there, I'm happy to start there. I know I have a very unpopular minority opinion on this, but yeah.
Well, so here's kind of been my thing all week.
Okay.
And I didn't really realize where you were going to be coming from on this. But my whole thing all week was I was like, it's fun to go back and talk about the Malcolm Butler thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not afraid to do it. We talked about it for, I don't know, it felt like two straight weeks after the Super Bowl, thereabouts. It pops up periodically, when he signed in Tennessee. When people have either been asked and talked about it or not talked about it over time, like it's continued to pop up. Never mind when, the secondary gets shredded or when Malcolm Butler's getting shredded this year, continues to be a talking point, including on Monday when he got eaten up for a couple of touchdowns by, who was it, Amari Cooper and the corpse of Allen Hurns. So, it comes up periodically and we've talked about it a lot. And my whole thing has been I can't reason with the people who feel like Bill Belichick made the right decision in the Super Bowl. The contract, I don't remember a lot of people kicking and screaming when he left, myself included. And I love Malcolm Butler when he was here. But at a certain point in time, you kind of realize they weren't going to throw more money after him. You kind of realize where things were situated. So I don't think a lot of people were screaming when Butler signed in Tennessee. Maybe you feel differently. Maybe I'm way off on that. But obviously there was a lot of kicking and screaming about the Super Bowl, rightfully so. Where I've kind of gotten to is I don't know that I can reason with people who think that Bill Belichick made the right decision. So I don't know. Let's hear your reasoning again. For those who haven't read you, let's hear your reasoning, bullet points on why you feel that Bill Belichick comes out of this looking better and more right.
So I'll say this. My opinion on this obviously has changed. I mean, I felt like everybody else, right after Super Bowl 52, right? And I just think, how can you not look at it months later, look at the way that Butler's playing now, go back and look at the way he was playing in the playoffs. This is the thing that sort of changed it for me, is I went back and looked at those games, and the numbers aren't as bad, but if you watch the individual plays, he's essentially playing the same way. It's carryover. It's not new. And I think that's sort of the disconnect between, I think, the way I feel and the way a lot of people feel, they say, well, it doesn't matter what he's doing now. You know, it's what he would have done that day. He's playing the same way.
Okay.
It's carryover. It's not new. Now, has it gotten worse? I think over the course of this year, it has gotten worse. But the same mistakes, Jones, in terms of getting caught peeking into the backfield instead of covering his guy. If you go back to the playoff game against Tennessee, the first touchdown, Corey Davis beats him on a double move. It's basically the same move he got beat on by Allen Hurns on Monday night.
But didn't that happen all last year?
I think for a good chunk of the year, he wasn't right. But I think towards the end, it got worse. And I think given Bill's track record of being able to identify, which is very good, right? Of being able to identify when a guy slips, certainly before we have. You know, you think like a Wes Welker or somebody like that, where you're like, oh my God, what are you doing? And it's like, oh, we didn't realize that this guy was, you know, super concussed and basically used up because that's what Patriots did. I think Bill sort of saw the iceberg ahead, you know, with Butler. And I think a lot of people look at it and say, well, you know, I heard Arcand say, well, how much worse could it have been? Well, how much worse would it be if you put statistically the worst corner in the league in there? I mean, actually, I think it could have been. Like, when we talk about Butler, we always say he would have made all the plays the other guys didn't make. But nobody ever thinks about, well, what about the plays he would have given up if he's playing like that? The plays like you saw Monday night that are sort of like Allen Hurns, where that's just a big play touchdown. So I sort of look at it now and think that maybe Bill saw that iceberg ahead with Butler and he just lost trust in the guy.
But did he? Did Bill see the iceberg coming? Like he, the reason why I asked,
yeah.
Butler basically did that all last year, and I remember we all talked about it. Like we're like, Butler's not right.
Yeah, he was uneven.
I don't think that was a secret. Like, but no one expected him to be benched for Bottomosi, Richards, Rowe, and I heard some of you with Felger Mass yesterday. I know that can be overstated, especially with Bottomosi, the amount of snaps that he played.
Bottomosi played 10 snaps. In the first playoff game against Tennessee, Richards played a third of the snaps and Butler played 100%. So Richards is not a substitute for Butler. Like Richards and Butler played, I think Richards was going to play anyway because that style of offense, and you go back to that season opener when he was out there against Kansas City, that style of offense, they want to put more speed on the field. They didn't trust their linebackers. So one way they thought they could do that for whatever reason was Jordan Richards. So that doesn't really have to do with Butler. Bottomosi, yes, but Bottomosi was out there for 10 snaps.
Okay, fine. Eric Rowe started the game, and I know he got better as the game went along.
And those guys all said, by the way, afterwards that they knew that Butler wasn't going to start. They didn't know he wasn't going to play. So Butler was supposed to be, those guys thought Butler was going to be the third corner in that game.
But when you say Bill knew, Bill saw the iceberg coming. With some players he does, sure. And Bill obviously did with the contract for Butler. Yeah. But Bill went from playing Malcolm Butler just about every snap all year long to then abruptly, right before the Super Bowl, changing everything. So maybe that's just a big coincidence and he figured it all out in a 2-week span. He had the extra week leading up to the Super Bowl. Maybe while he was at that Timberwolves game, it's all he was thinking about. A couple of nights before the game, just kind of going over it in his mind while he was watching Jimmy Butler and Giannis Antetokounmpo. But that just seems like if he saw the iceberg, to stick with your analogy,
yes,
they would have been limiting playing time before the Super Bowl, no? Like that's something that they would have been scaling back and picking away at, and it was just, it was not a gradual transition. It was very abrupt.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I just think you get to a certain point, and it happens all the time, right? Like, you know, Jabal Sheard, is there a gradual benching? I mean, I think, and I know it's different when the guy doesn't play at all, but I'm saying it's not that unusual if we think about in any sport for a guy to go from starting to not starting. You know what I mean? Especially when a team looks at it, and I think that they
I don't disagree with that. How about starting and playing every snap to playing zero snaps on defense?
Yeah, and I understand. I mean, that's totally different, and I get that sort of part of it. But the bottom line is you can go from saying, we've given this guy all the rope we can, he's actually getting worse or he's making the same mistakes. And I think one thing if you're playing, it's also matchups too. If you're playing a Philadelphia team that runs a lot of RPOs, well, the last thing you want is a cornerback that gets caught peeking into the backfield.
Yeah, but Jacksonville plays, they do a ton of RPO.
Yeah, he didn't play well.
No, he didn't play well, but he played the whole game.
But don't you then look at it and say, okay, here, we have some evidence here
but if
that
he were,
he's not playing well and he's a liability in this game?
Sure, but wouldn't they bench him in the game?
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess theoretically they could. At the end, they stopped using him to cover. They said, just rush the passer and get out of the way. I mean, they did that with him, and he wasn't good in that game. So, I mean, I think that's one you sort of get away with. I think people reconsider things all the time, you know, and I think Bill might have looked at that with the 2 weeks and looked at the last two games he had played in the whole season and said, this is a guy trending downward. He's not playing the right technique. The eye discipline's not there. He's giving up big plays. I've lost trust in this guy. I would rather be in a situation with a quote unquote lesser talented player who I feel like is going to play it well than somebody who has a reputation but right now isn't playing well, and not only isn't playing well, isn't playing the defense and isn't playing discipline.
So you think Bill looks better. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think the decision definitely looks better. Okay. Absolutely. It Even if you disagree with it, I don't see how you can look at it 9 months later, look at the way the guy's playing, and say it doesn't at least look better, even if you still completely disagree with
it. It looks better. Was it right? Was he right?
Was he right? Right on Butler?
Just right, period. Was the decision to sit down Butler and play the other guys who played, was that right?
They got
dunked on by Nick Foles Super Bowl.
You're right, they did. But Foles did the same thing to the Vikings, by the way.
True.
He did. That was one of the best defenses in the NFL. So he was just, as my partner Jim Murray likes to say, he made a deal with the devil for those, those playoffs.
I like to say, he was Jackie Bradley Jr. in the ALCS.
Oh,
like,
here we go.
Like, sometimes guys just go unconscious and then they turn back into pumpkins. He was Jackie Bradley Jr. in the ALCS. He was on a heater. You're right. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So to answer your question, I'm going to separate it into two things. Was Bill Belichick right to not do everything he could in that game to win? No, he wasn't. He was not right. Was he right about Malcolm Butler in terms of this being a declining player and somebody that might give up plays? I think he was. But here's my point on this. So he wasn't right to not do everything he could to win that game, to not throw everything against the wall. But here's the thing. If they win that Super Bowl, he's still wrong in not doing everything he can during the game. But nobody cares because they would have won. And so my thing with the Butler thing is that people, it's not really about whether Bill was right or wrong to not do everything to win. It's that people automatically go to, if Butler played, they would have won. And I don't think you can say that based on the way he's played this year and the way he was playing in the playoffs.
So I think that. I think if Butler played, they might have won.
And that's what it's really about.
No,
see,
so
that's what I'm saying.
I actually agree. I heard you with Felger-Maz yesterday. And
I know you're phrasing the question that way, but let's just cut to the chase. It's really like they would have won if Butler played. And that's why people are so emotional about
it. I agree with you 100% on this. And Felger was very dug in.
Yeah, he was evasive.
Not a bad word, but I agreed with you on this, that we wouldn't be, if the Patriots win that Super Bowl, we're not talking about this.
Yeah.
This is not, this
not
is,
9 months later. We were talking about it at the time.
Oh,
like,
of
hey,
course. We would have talked about it for the next couple of days.
Well, because Butler was a free agent, and it would have been like, did they devalue him and all this other stuff? But once he got his contract, we wouldn't care.
We probably would have talked about it Tennessee week.
Sure.
You know, like leading back, it's like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, now they're going
against
Butler
what do you think that talk would have been if they had won the game?
Bill's so smart.
It would have been exactly what I'm saying.
No, I agreed with you on that. When I was listening yesterday and Felger's like, oh, we would have talked about it for 9 months. No.
No.
If the Patriots win the Super Bowl, it would not be the talk.
Not for 9 months. No.
Unfortunately for Bill, his bad decision was wrong. His bad decision was wrong, and they lost to a backup quarterback. So that's what Bill has to live with.
You're
now,
right.
Unfortunately.
Well, because we'll never know, and everybody can fill it in what they want. So let's say he had played Butler. Let's say he put him in for the same amount of snaps as Bademosi, and the same thing happened. Again, nobody would care. But because the guy didn't play at all and they lost, again, I think people immediately say, well, and even if they won't admit it and they won't say it, what they're equating is they lost, Butler didn't play, therefore, if Butler had played, they would have won. And I think if you look at the way he was playing in the playoffs last year, there was a play that Marquise Lee beat him for against Jacksonville that was similar to the Nelson Agholor play where Bademosi didn't make the tackle. The only thing about it that was worse for Butler was that the way Lee got open was that Butler was staring at the quarterback. Now, Bademosi was chasing and didn't make a tackle. Poor play. But, the assumption, I've heard it from my good buddy Jim Murray, like, Butler definitely would have made that tackle. It's like, really? I don't know. Agholor could have been more open. If he played it the way he played against Marquise Lee, Agholor would have been more open on that play than he was against Bademosi.
617-779-0985. Chris Gasper is defending the impossible. Chris Gasper will be taking your phone calls, fighting with you. I will be fighting with him. I'm sure I'll be fighting with you guys out there. Some people are going to side with you guys. There's plenty of people.
No, there's I don't know. There's not.
There is.
I don't think there's anybody who's...
The lunatic fringe is siding with you, Gasper. It's okay. I normally have the lunatic fringe on my side.
True.
I like the lunatic fringe.
I will say this.
That's like 90% of our listeners, the lunatic fringe.
I know that we have to go to break, and I don't expect a lot of people to agree with me, but I do think you're super dug in if you can't admit that 9 months later, the decision at least looks a little better for Bill based on what Butler has done.
I think the decision on the contract looks perfect. I think the decision on the contract looks great. The decision on the game?
So you think the game would have been different? The Malcolm Butler is playing right now. If they had put that guy
I'll tell you this, the game would have
ended differently?
I think they have a better chance to win if Butler plays, yes.
Even if he's the worst cornerback in the league?
Mm-hmm.
So take the name out of it. If you put the worst cornerback in the league into that defense giving up 41
why
points.
Why isn't Eric Rowe the worst cornerback in the league? Probably because he didn't play enough to qualify.
Wow. Okay. That's classic Jones. It's a rip of Eric Rowe.
Well, but again, that's what we're talking about. That's who Butler got replaced with. Rowe stinks too. So what's the difference? Yeah, I mean, at least Butler can make a play sometimes.
Oh, not this year.
No, I mean, but no, that's true. Hasn't made many this year. What do you have, a pick in game one and then hasn't done anything since? Oh, we can get into how Malcolm Butler will actually play on Sunday, too. In his past, he has risen. When he's been knocked down, he's risen up.
Here's the funny thing. It sounds like I don't like Malcolm Butler. I loved Malcolm when he was here. I thought they should have given him the contract, you know, before that season started. But I'm just, you know, you got to admit where you're wrong. And I think I was wrong and Bill was right.
I was wrong. Bill was right. That's not in my vocabulary. 617-779-0985. Adam Jones in for Big Jim Murray. We're talking Malcolm Butler here out of the chute on Gasper and Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray. You will listen. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And Malcolm, you know, I've always loved playing against him. And in practice, he was very competitive. He's a very competitive person. And, you know, he wants to try to win every play. Hopefully we can, you know, have a good plan against that entire defense. It's challenging because they got really good rush, some really good mix of linebackers, and they're talented in the secondary. They've spent quite a bit on the secondary, and they have some really good players. Byard's a hell of a player. Adoree Jackson's a first-round pick. So they got a great secondary, best red area defense in the league. They make you earn it. So there's nothing easy about this week for us.
Huh. Well, that was an interesting comment from Tom Brady, and it's Gasper and Murray. No Gasper.
No Gasper, I'm right here.
Excuse me, no Murray. What am I talking about? Gasper's here.
Do you have some plans you want to tell me about?
Jesus.
Jones?
11 a.m. This is not my time slot. This is not my time of day.
I know you're used to working alone, but I can leave if you want.
Hey, get out of here, Gasper. It's the Jones Show. taking you up until 2 o'clock. You know what just jumped out to me in that Brady answer? And you would actually be a good...
Okay.
You'd be a good person for this, Gasper, because, you know, you're down there. You're actually grinding away,
not
doing
really.
Work.
Not
I just I sit here in a studio and I just kind of talk out my backside and whatever sounds good I say and whatever suits my agenda I say. And
it's a real talent.
Then I ignore everything else, right?
Yeah.
So I said last night when we played this clip that it's interesting to me that Brady's like, boy, they got some good they got some highly paid contracts down there. Butler and Logan Ryan, those guys got some good contracts. I'm not saying Brady's never said that before. How often is Brady bringing up what guys are making on other teams? How often does that come up?
You know, off the top of my head, not a ton.
So somebody tweeted me one, and it was a good one. It was right after they lost to Kansas City in 2014. He was talking about the Cincinnati secondary and how they had a lot of highly paid guys in that secondary. I do remember that. Talking up, you know, how well compensated they were. So maybe it happens more often than not.
Yeah.
But it kind of caught my ear when he's like, oh, Logan Ryan left and he got a good contract. And, well, Malcolm Butler left, and he got a good contract. And meanwhile, I'm sitting here, and I gotta perform like a top quarterback in the league just to get paid like Blake Bortles. Like, I don't know. That kind of caught my ear with Brady. But maybe he does that more often than not, because you probably listen to him and away more than I do. I just kind of parachute in and, you know, make snide little remarks whenever it fits my agenda.
I mean, whenever you try and bring up Tom's contract with him, he says, you know, that's personal. He doesn't want to talk about it. So he won't talk about his own contract. You know, that Cincinnati poll is a great one by whoever sent that to you. I can't remember that. I think maybe in the past he's talked about defenses and defenses that are good and talked about, you know, having a lot of, you know, highly paid guys or whatever on the defense, or they spend a lot of money on a defense, but it's normally pretty general. That's a little more specific about, you know, highly paid cornerbacks or cornerbacks with good contracts.
How do you think Butler plays on Sunday? He's been terrible.
Yeah.
I think, and I've been guilty of saying this, you know, the easy thing to say is, well, he stinks this year, so he's going to get shredded. And my whole thing all week, Gasper, is that he's not even going to get shredded by, you know, Josh Gordon or Julian Edelman or someone like that. Bill's going to make sure that he gets toasted on a double move by, like, Philip Dorsett or something like that. Like, to really put some salt in the wound. Yeah. It's going to be like Dorsett or Patterson, or maybe they take Hogan off mothballs or something like that. And they really embarrass Butler.
So you think Bill's going to be like, oh, you thought he could tackle Nelson Agholor? He can't even tackle Philip Dorsett.
Exactly.
Who pretty much catches the ball and just goes down.
No, exactly. Just get ready for something like that. I can just wait for all the phone calls next week. So, see, Jones, see? How you like Butler now? I can just wait for it. Because you think it's bad when he's giving up touchdowns to the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Never mind when it's Philip Dorsett, you know, running wild on him. One thing I will say about Butler, and a caller brought this up last night, he does tend to, even when he's lost individual matchups before, Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown come to mind, though that was when he was, you know, a good player. He would give up some and then get some back. Is it possible he just gets up for this game? He sees Bill on the other sideline and he's like, that's the guy who benched me. That's the guy who wouldn't give me a contract. He sees Brady on the other side. He used to practice again. Does that get the most out of Butler this week?
It could. But if I'm the Patriots, I look at it the other way, knowing Malcolm and how competitive he is, that he's going to be so eager to make a play, I think you can burn him. I think he's probably going to be a little, you know, over anxious to do something in the game, to make an impact, to let them know that they made a mistake. And I think they're going to try and take advantage of that aggressiveness.
So you're saying,
and that's why if I were them, I would put, if I'm Tennessee, I would put him on Edelman, which is a difficult matchup. But Edelman's not somebody that really runs a ton of vertical routes. So if Edelman's going to run his normal routes and Butler wants to be aggressive and physical and squat on the short stuff, I think for the most part, he'll be, you know, okay. Like Edelman will get his catches and all that, but he probably won't get burnt for like a 65-yard touchdown.
Right. Philip Dorsett, on the other hand.
That could be a little different. Yeah.
Philip Dorsett, meanwhile, is going to dust him. So I don't know. That's interesting. 60-yard. What I hear you saying is 60-yard touchdown for Philip Dorsett. Book it. That's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
617-779-0985. Let's get to some phone calls, shall we?
Let's do it.
Is this Rappa in Ashby? Go ahead. Get us started today, Rappa.
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
So I just wanted to say that last year in the Super Bowl that the Patriots were old forever on defense on third down, and Bademosi, Rowe got torched pretty much every play. So I'm going to have to disagree with Chris there. You're telling me that Malcolm Butler wouldn't have made one of those tackles?
Yeah, Chris.
I mean, you're coming off like a Belichick lapdog now, agreeing with him.
I'm far from that. I mean, one opinion doesn't make me a Belichick lapdog, so let's not be ridiculous. You know, that doesn't make me a Belichick lapdog, but I understand what you're saying. But let me ask you this. The way he's playing right now, so you're saying he would have made one of those tackles. What if he made one of those tackles and gave up a 68-yard touchdown like he's kind of been giving up?
Yeah,
See, that's the thing.
He was one of the best tacklers on the team last year.
But you have to be close enough to tackle the guy, and he didn't look like one of the best tacklers on Marquise Lee in the AFC Championship game 2 weeks earlier. See, this is the thing. People say he would have made this play, right? But then you assume he wouldn't have given up any other plays. When he didn't play well in the playoffs and has continued that into this year and has given up the most yards and the most touchdowns of any corner in the league. So it's like, he would have made that tackle. Well, okay, but if he's playing the way he is now and he was at the end of the postseason, then you're telling me he wasn't going to give up any plays? So he would have given up zero plays
Those guys gave up all kinds of plays. What are you talking about?
Well, he was never going to replace Rowe. Here's one thing. Jonathan Jones was hurt. Rowe was going to play. And the decision was that Rowe was going to be the two cornerback. And if Butler did play, he was going to be the
three.
Like,
okay, that was the decision. Fine. How do we feel about that decision? That decision wasn't so hot either. Rowe is getting dunked on by Alshon Jeffrey. So,
I blame the coaching staff for that. I mean, they should have had Gilmore cover Jeffrey from the jump.
Okay, fine. Whatever then. So whatever it was, the game plan going into that was very poor. Maybe it should have been Gilmore on Alshon Jeffrey. Maybe it shouldn't have been Rowe playing so much. Maybe Butler should have played more. I mean, the one thing I keep going back to, maybe he would have given up more plays. I totally understand what you're saying.
Well, you can't just say he would give up no. Like, that's the assumption. The blanket assumption is he would give up no plays and make all the plays the other guys didn't make. And some of those other guys, and that's my other point, some of those other guys like Rowe and Jordan Richards still would have been on the field. They still would have been on the field to give up those plays. The way they played nickel defense. So if Butler's out there for Bademosi played 10 snaps, that's fine. But when you start talking about Rowe and Rich, those guys would still be on the field. They could still find those guys if they're the Eagles and try and beat them.
They could, but it might have been a better matchup. And as we saw, you know, the further you kicked Rowe down, the better he played, right? When you get Rowe away from Alshon Jeffrey, when you have Rowe with less primary responsibilities, like, they can still find him, they can still pick him out. But now, who are you throwing to? You know, and look, Foles did a good job getting Aguilar involved, Corey Clement involved. You know,
in that game, it didn't matter who
he found. Trey Burton, like, he found everybody
Zach
in that
Ertz
game.
Killed them in that game.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have mattered. But as you said earlier, and I still think this is the main thing to come back to, it's not like they emptied the bucket making sure
that they went through
everything and gave it their best shot going down. And that's frustrating. That's frustrating as a fan.
And I get that, but let me ask you this. When they get the lead in the fourth quarter, right? So now they have the lead in the fourth quarter. At that point, are you going to put in – you have the lead. Are you going to put in a guy that you haven't played the entire game in the most important defensive possession?
Well, maybe if they did it earlier, they would have had the lead earlier.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, again, that goes back to what I'm saying.
I'm not telling you I know that. I'm just saying maybe. Like, at halftime when things were terrible, that would have been a good time to make an adjustment.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
And Bill really didn't.
That's totally fair. And I cede that point that he didn't do everything he could do to win. But again, I'll go back to my other point. That sort of storyline is based on Malcolm Butler, the name, the guy who played the way he played in 15 and 16, wasn't that guy at the end. And you're basically saying this guy's going to come in and make all these plays and not give up any plays.
I'm just saying I would have liked to have seen it. I just would have liked to have seen it. That's all.
No, we'll never know. And so I can say what I'm saying, like my way, which is like you're saying he wouldn't have given up any plays. I think he would have based on the way he was playing at the end and the way he's playing now. The caller and you can say he would have helped. We'll never know. And ultimately, you can fault Bill for that. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't know. So now it just becomes a projection. And I think the majority of people have just chosen to project that he would have gone in there, played better than the other guys, made all the plays they didn't make, given up no plays, and they would have won the game. And to me, that's what it's really about. It's not about what we're talking about. And I agree with you on that Bill didn't empty the bucket. It's about if Butler had played, they would have won. And I don't think you can say that.
They probably would have. Based on what? Based on Butler being better than those bums for the whole time they were there. Bill agrees with that.
You just said we'll never know.
No, we won't know.
So now you're saying they definitely would have won.
I didn't say definitely. I said I think.
Okay.
I think they probably would have won.
You just said probably would have won. That's different from I think.
That's because I think. They probably would have won. I think they probably would have won. I'm not saying they definitively would have won. I think they probably would have won. They would have won, Gasper. You know, I know it.
Yeah, I know.
They would have won. Okay. Another ring. Another ring. Bill could have renamed his boat. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to because he screwed up. 617-779-0985. McCone's got all the latest in-hub headlines. We're going to take more Butler phone calls. I assume those aren't going anywhere. I do want to get to Rob Gronkowski, too. Just the wild swing of emotions with that guy from last week to this week. We'll do that after the update.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How do you feel out there?
Good. Yeah, I feel good. Yeah, for sure.
Back to 100%?
We don't do percentages around here. We're not. It's got some rules.
You be playing this Sunday?
It's up to the coaches. It's coach's decision.
You feel like you could go?
If the coach thinks I can go, I can go.
Rob Gronkowski earlier in the week. Actually, that was yesterday. Gasper and Murray. No Murray. It's been pointed out to me Gasper is here today. We're taking you all the way up until 2 o'clock. Adam Jones in for Big Jim. Tearing apart Nashville. You heard from him at all down there?
I have not, but I know, you know, he left really a pro move by Jim. He left like Friday night, so we got the Friday night there. Mm-hmm. I imagine he'll be doing something tonight. And then obviously the game. So he really, stretched it out, which was a good move.
Nice pro move.
Yeah. Brought the suitcase to the studio and then bounced. Oh, did he? To the airport. Yes, he did.
Oh, see, I actually didn't even see him yesterday. That's how quickly he was out of there yesterday. I didn't even cross over with him yesterday.
He did depart Felger and Maz a little early.
Yeah. Arcan jumped in there, right?
Yes, correct.
Arcan was chopping it up with the guys. So anyway, you hear Gronk there. I have a working theory on why we just have had this wild swing of emotions from sad Gronk last week to happy-go-lucky, giggly Gronk. What's going on there? You've talked to him. You just talked to him the other week for the Globe. What's going on? Why do we get the wild swing there from Gronk?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I thought that when he was like sort of sad Gronk, that whole press conference term when he started getting asked about his production. And I thought that was something where he was sort of frustrated and in a situation where it's like he either complains about his usage or his health or whatever, and it sort of reflects poorly on him because the team's winning. And I think what you got the other day was like an over-the-top performance of him trying to be like, you guys can ask me anything.
So it doesn't matter.
So
that's exactly what I think. Yeah. It's like overcompensating. Yes. Or like I was saying last night, he's almost like the sad clown where like deep down he's still upset about
it. Yeah, he's like sad. He's like, oh man, I'm not going to get any of these incentives.
But he's trying to overcompensate, right?
Yeah.
And he's just like too over the top. Like we know what a fun-loving Gronk sounds like.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a fun-loving Gronk. That's like a laughing through your tears Gronk. Like, I don't know what that is. I've never I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I don't know. That was strange. I mean, I don't know. He seemed like strangely like giddy. I mean, we went from like sad Gronk to, you know, giggly Gronk. I don't know.
Like, what is that? What is that?
I don't know.
That's like laughing through your tears is what that is. I think
it does kind of sound like that.
That's not real laughter. That's like a Tangway Jones radio laugh. That's what that is. That's like an over the top like radio laugh.
But you know, no one wants to be like, I mean, you're talking about a team that is playing really good football right now and has won six in a row, and nobody wants to sort of be identified as, you know, the party pooper at this point, right? And so I think that's sort of the thing. You know, I don't know if someone talked to Gronk or whatever the situation was, but you know, the week before, the way it sort of came off, it sort of came off like, even though he was, and at that press conference, credit to Gronk, because he said all the right things, but the body language was saying otherwise. So I don't know if somebody said to him, like, you know, you can't let these guys get to you.
You think he got called into the principal's office?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. That sounds like a yes.
Or even if it's not the principal's office, how about a teammate or somebody says, hey, man, like, you know, don't let those media, you know, jackals, don't let those vultures like Adam Jones get you.
How are we getting him down? I'm not the one who negotiated the contract. Like, he sounds like he's upset about the incentive.
He
should be upset with throw him the ball, Tom. Don't get upset with us. Throw him the ball, Tom.
I think part of it, too, is like, you know, the health situation, I think, is frustrating for him because just missing those two games, you know, each of those two games he missed cost him
like $60,000, right?
More than that.
I'm bad at math. I tried to do math on this the other day. So it's worse than that.
Each game he has a roster bonus that's $109,375. So if he's
on
the
active roster. Oh, my God, I'm horrible at math. I tried to do the math. I'm that bad at math. I thought it was $1 million bonus prorated over 16 games.
But remember when they redid the thing? So basically what happened is, not to bore people, but it was like $750,000. When they redid it, they added $1 million. So it was a total of 1.75.
So that's where
my
math is
wrong. So it's 1.75 divided by 16. So he gets these bonuses. So he's already lost more than $200,000 just not being active.
So he's losing out on an additional $60,000, but what he already had in place was more than that. Got it.
Yeah.
So that's something like, he's not hitting the touchdown bonus, I wouldn't think.
It's going to be tough. I mean,
he's capable of 8 touchdowns in 8 games or whatever it is now. He's capable of
7 games.
But yeah, I wouldn't feel great about that.
So let's steer clear of the math. Neither one of us really needs to be doing math on the fly. I think that could be a real turnoff.
This wasn't on the fly, guy. This was like I spent like, you know, time before the show. I actually spent precious prep time doing math. You know, prep time.
I'm sure
like,
the math was right. It was just you had the wrong information.
Well, I was like two. That's pretty standard for me. Yeah, it was like the 2 minutes before the start of the show. I was trying to do it. 617-779-0985. That's what I call prep time. Let's go to David in the truck. Go ahead, David. Hello, David. Whoa, David. David. Wait, is that a skill saw? What's he doing? Hello.
Sounds like he's in traffic.
What's up? No, I got you. I got you.
Do you?
I got people right. Yeah. Well, no, I'm fine. No, I was fine, but I don't want to get down that people just want to not pay attention to firearm stuff. All right. So, Chris, you there?
Yeah, we're here. I'm still not convinced you are. Go ahead, David. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm fine. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm not one of those callers like, oh, hold on. My thing is, I understand. We're not on the phone?
No, we are. Go ahead. Make your point. Right. Go ahead.
Well, no, I get what you're saying to a point, and I listen to Felger Mez and all that. I don't know. Am I saying it wrong? Like, no one wrote this last year about Butler. It's because, no, so if Butler was having a good year, would we not be saying, like, oh, Bill Mitt, you know, did the right thing and all that?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And you're right.
Do you?
Yeah, I hear what he's saying. Do you hear what he's saying?
No, I absolutely don't.
I understand what he's saying. So I think you're right. I mean, if Butler were having a good year, obviously it would be different. And so that's kind of part of my whole point is, how can you not look at this 9 months later, and if you go back and look at the way the guy was playing in the playoffs and the way he's played this year, and not say the decision looks slightly different? So he's right. Yeah, if Butler were playing well, I think people would be piling on Bill. So Butler's not playing well, but they still want to pile on.
I mean, I think the Super Bowl, I think that situation was different than how the conversations sprouted off that way. And that's why I just have to call and just ask. Because if he had like 10 interceptions, I wanted him to play at least some of the Super Bowl to see what happened.
Absolutely. We'll never know.
You know what? You know what?
Exactly. We all will never know.
I'm going to chalk all this up in favor of Gasper. That guy wanted Butler to play in the Super Bowl. That means he's on my side of the argument. That means you win.
Oh, thanks.
If that,
no, I thought he made a good point.
That guy can't possibly be on the right side of any argument. So you know what? I'm chalking this up as a win for Gasper.
You were really from like the Felger school of dealing with callers, which is like this phone's not crystal clear.
No, I'm really not. We cannot be picky and choosy on the night show. We can't be picky and choosy. If I started brushing away every bad phone on the night show, we'd have no calls. I can't even do that.
Okay.
Felger, they can brush aside any crappy call they want.
It's the nature of the medium that, you know, contrary to Felger's belief, it's the nature of the medium that most people are not going to be at home sitting next to a landline from 1995 listening to you. In fact, most people are going to be in their cars doing something else where they might be outside having to use some sort of cell phone to call you.
No, my issue was less the background noise, though that was a little jarring to start. It was just really more.
Well, that was honking. He was being honked at. As he pointed out, other people were not paying attention to the road, while he was paying attention to the road as he drove his giant rig and called us on Sports Talk Radio.
It was really more his lack of a point that I found appalling. That was really more my thing.
That does offend you, Jim. You're easily offended.
617-779-0985. We'll continue with all your feedback here on Gasper and Murray, no Murray, with Adam Jones.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, Big Jim out. Adam Jones in, Chris Gasper here, thank God. We're taking you up until 2 o'clock on a Saturday with all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Celtics show, is that right?
That is correct, Sports Hub Celtics show, coming up at noon. Stay tuned for that.
Sports Hub Celtics show comes your way at noon. We got a full hour of Celtics talk, a lot to get to
with
the Celtics.
Game, yeah.
Gordon Hayward, his return to Utah. Celtics have been terrible on this road trip, save for a 22-point comeback against Phoenix, which, I don't know, if this were the Avery Bradley Celtics, you know, the Jay Crowder Celtics, who, by the way, played pretty well last night.
Oh, that meant a lot to him.
Oh, it did.
You could tell.
Maybe you get a little more jazzed up when it's, you know, the Kyrie Irving Celtics coming back from 22 down against the Suns. Meh. We'll get to Terry Rozier. We got a lot of thoughts on the Celtics from this week, so we'll do that coming up at the top of the hour. In the meantime, let's continue to take some Patriots phone calls here. Bob, waiting patiently in Hull. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, good afternoon, Gasper. Good afternoon. the first caller kind of stole my thunder a little bit on them getting torched.
Uh-huh.
But while I've been listening, I had a couple more ideas. One was, there was several times during that Super Bowl where Foles checked down on third and long, and the guy outside would miss the tackle and they'd get the first down. I got to think that Butler would have made at least one or two of those tackles and made them punt. One or two more punts in that game may have made the difference. Now, as far as Belichick knowing something, yeah, he probably knew something. He didn't have a good time in practice. That was, you know, everybody talked about it, but I also think there was a major negative impact on morale of the team from Butler not playing. So I think that he should have handled it better.
So that second point is interesting. Gasper, you've already answered the first. Like,
yeah, sure.
For everyone who says that he's going to make the tackle, Marquise Lee play in the AFC Championship game, which I think is fair.
Or even just the idea that, okay, so what if he makes that tackle and gives up a 70-yard touchdown?
That too, right? So like maybe for every play he makes that Bademosi couldn't, he ends up getting torched on a play where Bademosi
didn't. And by the
way,
Bademosi only played 10 snaps.
Right.
So it's not, Bademosi wasn't out there. Like, that's my point. Like, the Marquise Flowers still would have been out there. Jordan Richards still would have been out
true.
There. Eric Lee still would have been out there. So it's not like Butler was going to play in lieu of all of these guys. Like, they had a major defensive breakdown.
Was it purely about football? Was the decision purely about football in your mind?
I think it was mostly about football, but were there other factors at play? Look, Butler himself has said this, and he said it to Jeff Howe this week.
Bad week of practice. Well, wasn't focused.
Yeah, focus. He said, you know, when asked about it, he said focus and performance. And so I do think that there were members of the coaching staff, not named Bill Belichick, that felt that he wasn't as focused as he needed to be, and I think that we're sort of bringing the performance to Bill's attention. I'll say that. And look, I think they were already a little sour on the guy because of the contract thing. So, you know, human nature is human nature. Even Bill's human. The guy's not playing the way you want him to play. And I don't mean just the performance. I mean, the technique is sloppy and bad. and he hates that. I'm telling you, I know this. And people have told me this. Bill would rather lose with a lesser talented guy that he knows, like, okay, this guy doesn't have great physical talent and there's plays he can't make, but he's going to be where we think he should be. He's going to play it the way he's supposed to play it, than someone that's just going to say, like, I'm doing my own thing, or I'm ultra aggressive. I'm not doing it the way it's coached. That's one of the reasons Jamie Collins got shipped out of here.
Yep.
So that's the way he is.
Well, and Bill
so
got,
that plays into it.
Bill got his wish then. He'd rather lose with lesser talents. Well, he did. You know, so Bill got his wish. And I actually am intrigued by the point that the caller made.
Yeah.
Was there a negative impact morale-wise?
That's a good point.
And I haven't really considered that. So maybe. I mean, again, that's one we won't know.
Yeah.
But that's another sort of, I don't know, intangible piece to the whole Butler decision.
I mean, I can tell you this. You know, guys who he's close with on the team, he was close with a lot of guys. Malcolm is really well-liked.
A lot of guys are still flummoxed by it, right?
But the guy, some of the guys he you know, he's close with Daron Harmon, who changed his number this year. Devin McCourty, Chung. I thought when you went back and looked at that Super Bowl, those were three guys, three of their better defensive players. They all had subpar games. So maybe there was some mental effect.
I mean, that's interesting to consider. Again, I hadn't really thought about that. Tim McCone has all the latest in your Hub headlines. Then we are back with the Sports Hub Celtics show and a lot to get to with your Boston Celtics right after headlines.